Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So seductive. I take you to the candy shop. I let you the lollipop. Go ahead, girl, don't you stop. Keep going till you hit the spot. Whoa. How do you want it? You gonna back that thing up or should I push up on it?
You know, I just forgot to mention it. I don't know if most of us read about it, but Escambia High School was awarded $25,000 from T-Mobile.
Yep.
And now they're up out of eight schools that's left up for $1 million that will do a complete makeover of the football field and locker room. We're very proud that we have Trent Richardson, Emmett Smith, Reggie Johnson, and many other professional athletes that went to Escambia High School. With this $1 million grant from T-Mobile, it will just bring a lot of resources to the young people who are going to Escambia High School. And all you have to do is go to T-Mobile website and vote. And we're facing schools from across the country, so we encourage people to go out and support
Please
Escambia
vote.
High
I've been
School.
Voting every day.
And vote T-Mobile.
Reminding us on that.
Yeah, it's actually kind of a cool thing. Escambia High School could win this $1 million remodel. They already got this $25,000 in hand, but you just go to T-Mobile. I mean, if you just look it up, T-Mobile, you know, Friday night lights, you'll find it. It's pretty easy. And you look for the one that's got the Escambia High School vote. There's actually two contesty oriented things going on right now. One is that one for Escambia High vote. Hopefully they can win that. That'd be pretty nice. The second one has to do with Blue Wind Technology that makes the nacelles for the machine heads for the windmill engines that go, you know, that you see in the big white boxes. Okay, they're empty when they go in and they're full when they come out, but you can't tell the difference because, you know, what are you going to do? Measure the height of the suspension on the trucks? Yeah, I mean, you know, but we make the nacelles right here. There's actually two places that make them, and one of the places is Blue Wind Technology. We did a tour there not that long ago, talked with you a lot about that and their relationship to the wind industry. Anyway, there's a competition being put on by Florida Chamber of Commerce. It's the coolest thing made in Florida. Literally, the name of the website is coolestthingmadeinflorida.com. And there's this bracket of 16 different things, and we're in the finals. Blue Wind is in the finals. So Pensacola is in the finals against a place called Chrome Alloy based out of Palm Beach County that makes jet engine blades. So they make jet engine blades. We make the housing for the turbines that windmills use. And I will tell you that we are getting killed in the voting right now. It is almost 10-1. They've got 7,400 votes. We've got 800. 800. I had to back up and make sure these old eyes get to 800, not 900. But in any case, we're losing a lot. So you need to go vote.
Right. The people in Palm Beach County are just sitting around and they're like, oh, yeah, let me click the button.
We outpopulate them a lot. So, well, we need to fight back, you know. So support your own. You can vote up to once a day in both of those things, both for Escambia High and for the Florida Chamber of Commerce. CoolestThingMadeInFlorida.com bracket Blue Wind Technology. It's on the Facebook on our Facebook page at News Radio 92.3 if you want more information. Other conversations that were had about things at EMS in Escambia County. Really interesting conversation, frankly, about EMS. Last week ago? Yeah, it was last Tuesday at the Escambia County Commission meeting.
I told this board years ago, multiple times, why are y'all in the ambulance business? Why are y'all in the medical business? Just like the real estate business. Why are y'all in the medical business? Y'all think that these billion-dollar hospitals won't operate? You think they won't operate an ambulance service to get their customers to the hospital? They want those customers. They need those customers. y'all are in a business you shouldn't be in.
There's, you know, I never until just this moment realized that I think Larry Downs Jr., who is a friend, who I like him, who I probably disagree with him about 90% of the time, but that's fine. Who cares? I think Larry Downs Jr., there's a part of him that thinks he's a political commentator. There's a part of him that thinks he's a founding father, you know, offset by 225 years. There's also a part of him that maybe doesn't realize he thinks he's a stand-up comedian. But the stand-up comedian that he reminds me the most of, and you'll laugh as soon as you think of it, Bill Cosby. Listen to him again and think to yourself, if he doesn't sound a little bit like
Bill Cosby telling you about the pudding pops and how EMS should not have a county function?
I told this board years ago, multiple times, why are y'all in the ambulance business? Why are y'all in the medical business? Just like the real estate business.
Wait for it.
Why are y'all in the medical business? Y'all think that these billion-dollar hospitals won't operate
in the medical business?
David, am I crazy? David Wayne's over there watching me like, what are you doing this morning? Am I wrong? Am I crazy?
I don't know that I hear Bill Cosby. Right.
Oh, I hear it.
You see? See?
I hear it. That one word or that one, you
maybe
know,
just
phrase.
That. Maybe this is that one phraseology is what
but
caught
I
me.
Definitely
but
hear
right
it.
Right there, I heard it, yeah. So anyway. So he asks the question, why shouldn't the hospitals pay for it? It's part of their business model, right? I mean, they need the customers. You know, not just regular customers, but also ER services. And why should you and I, the taxpayer, well, okay. There's a big conversation here about how we fund all different kinds of emergency services. And it's a really, it's a conversation we never have. And I want to have it a little bit this morning. In Santa Rosa County, they outsource the, you know, ambulance services to Lifeguard. The county pays them a certain amount of money every year, and then they have certain parameters on how they perform, and they also charge the customers money. You know, people that get transported, they charge them money, and that funds Lifeguard. In Escambia County, it's a little bit different. The county owns the operation. It's self-funding. It actually revenue generates for the county. About $58 million a year is the, you know, that's not a net takeaway for the county, but it's, you know, that's an amount of revenue that it creates. And then they're writing off this year $17 million. It's actually... 17 is a kind of misleading number. It's more like 10 or 11. But they write off every year about 10 or 11. They send it to bad debt. Bad debt collects, what, 10, 20%? You know, they're not going to get a lot of that money back. Anyway, and Larry's like, I'm sick of us doing this. We shouldn't be doing this. And there is a libertarian's argument which says the government should never do anything that somebody else could do because essentially you're competing against the private industry. And so we should have, you know, Lifeguard should do it. But, well, in Santa Rosa, you know, we pay, right, for Lifeguard to do it. And Escambia, we pay a different way. And it's a very interesting conversation. And here's why I ask this. Who should pay for emergency ambulance service when you have a heart attack? Who should pay? Well, the county pays through an enterprise system that is self-funding, okay, to have a structure available to take care of you. And I've never... No, I think I did maybe one time when I had a really bad wreck in college. I think maybe I've been in an ambulance one time. But, you know, never in Escambia County. I've never been inside of an ambulance as a patient. So, but I still pay in the sense that my tax dollars go to create this structure. Now, if I do use an ambulance, because, you know, I have a heart attack, let's say, I then pay on top of the service being available, right? Probably, what, $1,000, $1,500, $2,000? I don't know exactly what an ambulance ride costs. I'm sure there's parameters depending on what they use. But, okay, let's just make it easy. Let's call it $1,000. So I pay $1,000 because I use the service. John didn't have a heart attack this year, so he doesn't call the ambulance, so he doesn't pay, okay? Although he lives in Santa Rosa County, so it's a little bit of a mixed bag. But compare that with if I call the fire department. If I have a fire at my house, even a little one, and I call the fire department, they don't charge me, right? I mean, there's no cost to calling the fire department. And if I don't have a fire, which is every year, I've never had to call the fire department.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, well, why wood? Anyway, that's a flammable substance. Anyway, but you pay taxes go to create a fire department. It is not an enterprise service. It's a general fund. In fact, we're and also funded by the MSBU, which we've now raised or, you know, I mean, doubling for next year in Escambia County. They're both emergency services. They both save lives. In one case, I pay for the privilege directly. And then if I use it, I don't get charged. In the other case, I pay for the privilege sort of indirectly by the structure maintaining through the government that I fund through my other taxes. And then if I use it, I pay. Think about police. If I call the police, they don't send me a bill. I mean, in my case, it's the sheriff. But, you know, if I call the sheriff, they don't send me a bill. But you could. I mean, theoretically, you could, you know, $300 if the police come. $500 if the police come. right? You could have it be a hybrid model where taxes pay for it. And, I mean, I don't know that anybody in the country actually does it this way. But you could do it, just like you could make an ambulance ride free. Why shouldn't an ambulance ride be free if you're saving lives? You don't have to pay access fee to go to the park. You see what I'm getting at? There are different ways to fund EMS. There are theoretically different ways you could fund fire, different ways you could fund the sheriff, different ways you could fund park access. You could even totally privatize it like Larry Downs Jr. is advocating for, where hospitals could do it themselves. And if they did it themselves, then, you know, maybe they make money off of it. Maybe they don't. I don't know. Mike Kohler, who is a nurse and, you know, still in his prior life in the military.
The problem with this, and unfortunately, I think the citizens of the county expect us to, you know, treat them if they're dying. I mean, I think that's a government function that most people expect.
And that's the premise, is the reason we do EMS is because it's life-saving. You know, like if a lifeguard rescues you out of the Gulf, they don't charge you a fee. But if you take the air, you know, ambulance, take the emergency airlift over to the Baptist or Sacred or West Florida, I mean, you get charged for the ambulance ride in the air. Why the one and not the other? Well, because we've decided that lifeguards are free and ambulances cost money. Fire and cops are free. I mean, you see what I'm saying? We could do it differently. Users could have to pay. Kind of like how you have that stupid motorist law where if you drive into the water and they have to rescue you, you pay. You know, if the jaws of life have to get used, we could charge you a fire fee. We don't, but we could. And so Mike Kohler is saying, well, look, people expect that life saving is done by the government and not at a cost.
I can only imagine if we made $58 million, right? And we have to bill 17. That's 81%. It's still not good. And that's why I asked CMR to go out and basically educate the community.
Community media relations, because that PR. Okay, the communications folks for the county, we need to educate people not to use the ambulance for the wrong reasons, only to use it when it's absolutely necessary. And this itself became a big conversation. Weirdly, Lumen May, Commissioner for District 3, saying, I don't know why we need to teach people not to use the ambulance. I'm kind of exaggerating his position a little bit, because he kind of did what a lot of times he does, which is agree and disagree, you know, kind of talk out of both the opposite sides of the position. But, you know, because what happens is, many times, not all the time, but enough to affect the system, is that people use EMS as a taxi ride. They don't have insurance. They're not going to pay. The bills just rack up, and it just gets written off the bad debt, and who cares? But they're using it to go to the mall, or because of some incredibly minor thing that they shouldn't be calling an ambulance for, which is why Mike Kohler is saying we need to educate people so that we stop stressing the system with these stupid calls that are abusive.
When our fellow citizens use an ambulance, and it's not for an emergency, you're putting other fellow citizens at risk to die. It's that serious. Because if resources are tied up in non-emergent care, that means that, and I know your story with getting to Sacred Heart with your daughter is one of those stories that you ran on.
Talking to Ashley
Hoffberger.
It's a
real story that happens in every community. We have a responsibility to educate our citizens on when they should call the 911 number, and hopefully we can make some headway, because it's in all of our interests. It's in the ER's interest. Only 5% of the people that go to the ER are actually ER patients.
It's like an emergency in your mind.
By the way, that is crazy but true, that so many people use the ER as their general care, their GP, their physician, or for things that are not genuinely emergencies. I mean, you could go to some urgent care or some local clinic or whatever. You don't need to be at the ER. But because they never turn you away at the ER, legal, illegal, insured, uninsured, you always get treated at the ER. So they wind up going to the ER. Remember how Obamacare was supposed to solve that? Remember, Obamacare was the premise that the government's going to make it so everybody gets insurance and they get it cheap. If you make less, you get a subsidy. If you make more, screw you. that's the way Obamacare works, which, by the way, is all wrapped up in this government shutdown business, right? Because the Republicans hate Obamacare. And although it's yelling about illegal immigrants, it's really about the subsidy. I mean, that's really what this is about. And, you know, the idea that people would have to pay more for health care, and it will go up dramatically if the subsidy is not there for a lot of people. And part of there's so many issues with Obamacare, but one of them is you have to project in the fall what you're going to make the next year. And if you're right and it's low, then you get a lot of subsidy. And if you're wrong and it's high and they pay you the subsidy all year, then you owe all that money back. Plus, you owe more than that because your price is much higher because you made a lot of money. It's a very socialist-oriented system. If you make money, you owe a lot. If you don't make money, they'll pay you a lot. Anyway, back to the point. He's arguing that, look, we need to, and it was Obamacare supposed to solve that by getting people regular care at their general physician so that you wouldn't have to go to the ER. It's supposed to alleviate stress on the ER, which is so expensive, which then the government reimburses them for. And none of that's ever happened. It's, I mean, we just have out of control healthcare spending, right? That's why your insurance keeps going up. Anyway, back to Mike Kohler and Lumen May.
So, Mike, an emergency in your mind, it may not be an emergency in my mind. An emergency in my mind may not be one in yours. When I think that my mother's having a heart attack, I'm calling 911, whether she's having it or not. I mean, so, you know, when a kid gets hurt, I mean, I understand what you're saying, educating them and keep it going. But, I mean, when it's your loved one sitting there, your child, you're going to call. Error on the side of caution.
No. No. There are objective standards where it doesn't make any sense to call an ambulance. It's not just a relativistic view of, you know, well, I'm worried. Because there are times when you might not know, and therefore you might think it's important to call. But there are also times when it's abuse and times when it's just plain stupidity. And people should know better. And that's part of the problem, is that's the education piece. And I'm not quite sure why Lumen is saying that, well, you know, if I'm worried, I should call the... And it's true. When in doubt, call 911. But at the same time... It doesn't mean that every call for an ambulance, just like every call for a cop, is an appropriate call for a cop, and you don't want to waste these resources.
Look, I got scars all over this body, man, doing this in Oakland and all other places. It's a chronic problem across the United States. It just is. But we have to try to address it when we're losing $17 million. I mean, we can't just say, well, let's put our hands up and do nothing.
Yeah, but when you do a real analysis, are you losing $17 million, and then you look at your profit margin, because the EMS is almost an enterprise that takes care of itself. So you can say we're losing money, but we are making money. And a governmental function is not made to make money, you know. And so we could really, however you want to lay out the performer, I bet we could lay out a case that we're not losing money if we really wanted to.
And that's, by the way, that's a really interesting point, because if we're generating $58 million, and writing off 11, 17 for the year, but there's a lot of backstory to that number, then is it really a cost? It's 80% collection. You know, the thing is doing pretty well. Is it self-sustaining? Is it generating revenue? And again, should government be in the business of making money anyway or charging people? And what happens when some people at the lower end of the economic spectrum just wind up not paying because they can't and they don't have insurance? And other people are paying for it. Is that fair? I mean, these are the conversations, and we never really have that kind of big picture conversation about how emergency medical services should make its money, be billed, or who should be paying for it. And so I thought it was really interesting. Now, apparently, Eric Gilmore, who's the director of public safety, says there's some big revamp coming, which will solve a lot of these problems. I hope so. And I know Eric's very smart. I trust Eric a lot. So we'll see what happens. But I thought it was an important conversation to have, and there's a lot of elements to it. 527 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. You've heard me talk about one car dealership in Pensacola, Frontier Motors, at 230 Beverly Parkway. Folks, new cars lose 11% of their value the second you drive them off the lot. So for years, Frontier Motors has been saving Pensacola residents thousands of dollars by getting them into the best previously owned vehicles. And thousands of people have enjoyed Frontier Motors' no hassle, no pressure experience. Just the best slightly used vehicles in town at a fair price. But don't take my word for it. Look around and start noticing all the Frontier Motors decals and tags there. So if you're in the market for a vehicle, do yourself a favor and see the friendly folks and the huge inventory at Frontier Motors. You can't miss them. Just look for the big buffalo on the... That's Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
Let's go. You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Let's go. A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
eBay has reinvented vehicle buying. From click to curb, everything's covered. Ever try to buy a car online and end up in a parking lot with a stranger and some blind trust? That era is over. Now with Secure Purchase, eBay isn't just where you find your car. It's where you buy it, start to finish. Title, financing, registration, delivery, it's all built in. This is the modern way to buy your next ride on eBay. eBay. Things, people, love. Secure Purchase is powered by Caramel Dealer Services, LLC, an eBay subsidiary.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News.
To 5:30 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne will have your local news coming up. You know what I was trying to do?
Goomba.
I was trying to find a Bill Cosby clip. Noah?
Goomba.
What? How long can you tread water?
Fox News, I'm TJ Papa. Democrats in the U.S. Senate just said no again to a pair of spending plans that would have ended the partial government shutdown. Democrats want money for an extension of enhanced health care subsidies.
I think a lot of good things could happen, and that could also pertain to health care.
That's President Trump in the Oval Office. Israel remembering the victims of the Hamas attack on this day in 2023, but what is the mood?
It's remarkable to see the level of hope after 2 years of an emotional roller coaster. There is really a sense among people that good things could be happening, and really a lot of great gratitude towards President Trump in the U.S.
That's Fox's Steve Harrigan in Tel Aviv. Laron Berman's twin brothers are Hamas hostages.
I'm the most hopeful I've been since the second deal in January.
He joined Fox and Friends first earlier. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. 72 right now. We've got partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast here in just a few minutes. Jay Hospital has reportedly dismissed several employees following allegations of taking unauthorized photos of patients and then sharing them to social media. Patients are claiming that they were photographed while either medicated or sleeping. Attorney Joe Zarzar is now planning to file a lawsuit on their behalf. Hospital administrators have reportedly confirmed the incidents and offered the victims money to sign a release, which they declined. Jay Hospital says they conducted a preliminary investigation after they learned of the allegations, but details about the number of employees involved remain unclear. Attorney Zarzar says the lawsuit aims to uncover the truth behind the violations. A 16-year-old from Robertsdale was arrested Monday morning in Gulf Shores, allegedly for being involved in multiple vehicle break-ins and driving a stolen truck. Police say they came across the damaged truck after responding to a suspicious vehicle call on Pine Acres Road. That truck was confirmed to be stolen out of Robertsdale. Witnesses reported seeing a male suspect fleeing that scene, attempting to enter another vehicle. After establishing a perimeter and deploying a canine unit, officers say they located the teen shortly after, and he now faces several felony charges, including possession of stolen property and unlawful breaking and entering of a motor vehicle. An investigation is ongoing in that case. Deputies in Santa Rosa County say they arrested a suspect they believe was involved in an armed burglary at a local church over the weekend.
The call came in as an armed burglary at Emmanuel Baptist Church. Of course, when deputies got there, he had already left the scene. We did catch him down at the parking lot of Winn-Dixie.
Chief Deputy Randy Tift, he tells News Radio that deputies found that suspect in a vehicle that had been stolen out of Tennessee. He reportedly had multiple weapons and several thousand dollars in cash, which had been taken from a family member. Tift says that suspect is now awaiting a court date at the Santa Rosa County Jail. It is free college application week in Alabama. That period, which runs from October 6th through the 10th, high school seniors that want to attend college in the fall can submit applications to multiple colleges and universities at the same time without paying the usual fees. Records show that more than 26,000 students applied for admission during last year's Free College Week campaign. Santa Rosa County residents can safely dispose of hazardous materials this weekend.
Santa Rosa County has scheduled a Household Hazardous Waste Amnesty Day. Happens this Saturday from 8 to noon at the Gulf Breeze Community Center on Shoreline Drive. The event is free of charge and gives residents the opportunity to properly dispose of potentially hazardous materials. Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Well, FPL making its case for why it needs to raise rates. They had a hearing yesterday in Tallahassee. Reps from the utility told the Public Service Commission rates need to go up about $2.50 a month for 12 million customers across the state. FPL says they need more money to continue upgrading their power grid as more customers come online. If the rate increase is approved, it would take effect in January. 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 72 degrees. Partly cloudy skies here today. Our next news at 6. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. AppLovin shares plummeted after Bloomberg reported that the SEC has been probing the mobile advertising company over its data collection practices. Bloomberg News reported that the agency has been looking into whether the company violated agreements on pushing targeted ads to consumers. Figma shares jumped 7% after the design software vendor's technology was promoted by OpenAI CEO Sam Altman in an on-stage demo at his company's annual Dev Day conference in San Francisco. ChatGPT users will be able to have Figma run tasks from within their conversations. AMD's stock has surged 23% after OpenAI and AMD announced that they have reached a deal that could see Sam Altman's company take a 10% stake in the chipmaker. OpenAI will deploy up to 6 gigawatts of AMD Instinct GPUs over multiple years, beginning with a 1 gigawatt rollout in 2026. Futures are slightly lower. That's Your Money Now.
Pensacola Hardware is much more than a hardware store. In houseware and giftware, you'll find luxury candles and detergents, along with the finest cutlery, cookware, and the ever-popular woodware. We have the best selection of grills and grilling accessories for your home and backyard. Oh, and don't miss our great selection of birdhouses, feeders, and garden accessories. Shop local and make Pensacola Hardware your first choice in making your house a home. Come see us, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown Pensacola, where customer parking is always free.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare here in Pensacola. I'd like to invite you to tune in to my new show, Sit, Stay, and Listen, where I'll be answering all your pet questions live on air.
Sit, Stay, and Listen, 10:30 a.m. tomorrow on Pep Talk.
See all you cool people then.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Looking for a new home or just love the latest in design and style? Don't miss the Home Builders Association of West Florida's Parade of Homes, the 10th of October through the 12th. Tour an incredible showcase of new homes across Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. See the craftsmanship of our local builders and explore products available right here in our community. For more information, visit paradeofhomespensacola.com. The Parade of Homes from the 10th of October through the 12th. Don't miss this annual showcase of new homes throughout Escambia and Santa Rosa counties.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Just download our News Radio Pensacola app. Then tap the app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app, the News Radio Pensacola app, and get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. By the way, we had yesterday at this time, we're telling you about some of the rain in the southwest portion of Escambia County. Did you see the numbers? 6 inches. 6 inches in like Daphne, Robertsdale, Fairhope. Like there was, and you know, a couple of inches in the southwest portion of Escambia County too, like two or three. Like, oh my God. And everybody else is like a half inch, quarter inch, eighth of an inch, you know, something like that. So, man, and it really was. It was just dwelling right in that one area yesterday. Yesterday, I had a chance to talk to Santa Rosa Chief Deputy Sheriff Randy Tift. Chief, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you today?
I'm doing great, doing great. Let's see. You guys had an armed burglary at a church over the weekend. Is that right?
Yeah, Saturday. We got the call came in as an armed burglary at Emmanuel Baptist Church. Of course, when deputies got there, he had already left the scene. We did catch him down at the parking lot of Winn-Dixie. Found out the vehicle he had was stolen from Tennessee. He had warrants out of Tennessee for ag assault. We located multiple weapons, ammunition, had about $2,000 in cash, which come to find out he had taken from his brother's bank account in Tennessee. So he went to jail and is there waiting on his court date.
So just as a clarification, because the terms I've gotten confused on. So the burglary means it wasn't an armed it wasn't a confrontation. It wasn't, you know, with another person. But armed in a burglary is an enhancement compared with an unarmed burglar. Is that true?
That's correct.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If you have a weapon on you when you commit a burglary, it's considered an armed burglary. He didn't get in the church, but he did have a weapon. That's why we designated as an armed burglar and charged him with that.
Got it.
And he left the scene once he seen people and new law enforcement was on the way.
Got it.
So deputies did a great job of getting him.
Yeah, especially able to get him when he wasn't even inside the church. That's great. Let's see. You had a scam. They're calling it a pig butchering scam, but the actual scam just seems like a get a hold of somebody and get them to believe something, and it's, you know, Bitcoin related. What happened here?
Yeah, this a female out of California actually reached out on Facebook, made contact with a Santa Rosa County resident, talked him into investing in some Bitcoin, ended up scamming him out of a bunch of money, had somebody come and pick up the money. He moved a lot of money over to several different sites, specifically a Coinbase.com account.
Okay.
He had deposited around about $240,000 from his bank account into Coinbase and these other websites.
Wow.
They tried to get that money back. They told him he didn't have enough money in there. The subject arranged for somebody to come to his house and pick up $30,000. We were able to look at the videos, locate who it was. He had a rental car when he came. We went to that location, was able to get a hold of that subject. And our deputies did a warrant for the subject in California, and she was arrested in Los Angeles the same day.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so why is it called a pig butchering scam? Is he the pig that they're butchering? Is that the metaphor?
I'm not really sure where they got that from.
Okay.
I haven't read all the reports because this is a continuing investigation. We're not done with this. We're still looking into this one. So those records aren't out there yet.
Got it.
We're
okay.
Still investigating that. There could be more subjects involved in this, and we're still looking into that to make sure there's not any other victims in our county.
Okay. All right. Wow. I mean, you know, again, great work. Amazing work, frankly. Chief, you guys just recently completed a firearm safety training class, which is kind of a neat thing you do for the public, right?
Yeah, we really enjoy doing this, and the citizens enjoy it. We've got another class coming up. If you missed this one, it's October 24th. You can go to our website and look at the dates and sign up for that one. It's a good training. It teaches firearm safety and handling, the Florida gun laws, and what your legal responsibilities are, and safe storages of it because you got kids around,
mm-hmm.
and just basic marksmanship and range etiquette. So it's a good class. It's always a positive event. Our citizens love doing it, and our instructors love getting out there and making sure that people are handling weapons.
Outstanding.
Safely.
And for people who, this is ideal for somebody who's maybe never even picked up a gun, right? This is for like basic introduction for anybody, right?
Absolutely.
Outstanding.
Yeah. Experienced or inexperienced people are welcome to sign up.
I love it because I think a lot of times people are, you know, they don't know where to start. They may be afraid. They've never had any experience. They don't have anybody to show them. And so this is a good opportunity for them. Oh, speaking of that, I had just a question that occurred to me is, you know, PPD, Pensacola Police Department, has now switched. They had been carrying Glock 22s, which is a 40 caliber, and they're now switching over to the Glock 45, which is it's a slightly different build of the 9mm. It's not the big 17, but it looks like it's not a gun I have handled, but looking at the description of it. But they switched from 40 caliber to 9mm. What is Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office? What is your duty weapon for you guys?
We carry Glock 17.
Okay, full size.
It's a 9mm. Okay. We transitioned to this 9mm back in 2017 when Sheriff Johnson was elected sheriff. He transferred from the 40 cal to the 9mm. The cost is a lot better. I mean, it's sometimes it depends. That ammunition fluctuates in price, but sometimes we can save half off the price of the ammunition. And it's easier for a deputy. You don't have near as the recoil. They can be more accurate with a 9mm than they can with a 40 cal. So we transitioned to the Glock 17. Glock 17s they're starting to move them out and going into different models also. So in the future, as we buy weapons, we may end up with a different model of the 9mm, but we're going to stay with the 9mm.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that's one of the ones I have at home is a 17. It's a great weapon. But interesting, so the stopping power has always been the argument that the 40 has more stopping power, but you guys, or Bob Johnson, decided that the 9mm, cheaper, easier to stay on target, more accurate, and, you know, if you're going to put two in anyway, I guess that's good enough. Is that the idea?
Yeah, you put enough in there, they're going to stop regardless.
Can't argue with that. That's true. Hey, last thing, you guys have the End of Watch Memorial Ruck coming up, right?
Yeah. Every year, the End of Watch Memorial Ruck, it's a nonprofit organization. They do a ruck for all the fallen officers. This is a 42-hour ruck where they carry the weights of 165 law enforcement officers for 42 hours. It's an amazing dedication to the fallen officers across the country. Last year when we did it, it was a little over 200 lost across the country. So this year we did come down to 165. But we have a closing ceremony. It's going to be held at June 8th Arena on Sunday, starting at 1:00. That's the final mile. We'll have representatives from all the law enforcement, Escambia County Sheriff's Office, Okaloosa, Walton, Fort Walton Beach, PPD, Milton PD. All of our law enforcement will be there to recognize this event in dedication to those fallen across the country. So we welcome the community to come out. We'll have a lot of events going on there. But again, it starts about 1:00 on Sunday. So we invite the community to come out and see that closing ceremony. It's very touching. As they place all the weights back on the table that have been carried for the last 42 hours for those fallen officers.
All right. Wow. Okay. Well, big event coming up on Sunday. Chief Deputy Randy Tiff with the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. As always, Chief, thanks for keeping us safe. Thanks for keeping us informed. We'll talk to you again soon, sir.
Okay. Thanks, Andrew. Have a good day.
Absolutely. 5:47 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And if you need to get air conditioning, heating, electrical, or plumbing work done in your home, Peden will take care of you for that. They started back in 1969 just because, not because he really thought he'd build this big business across all these counties and doing all this different stuff, but Robert Peden was hot in summer in Florida. I figured out how to do air conditioning, so he did it. And then he did it for his friends, and, you know, then he started selling it. And then eventually today, you know, there's this big company that stretches all the way from Mobile to Tallahassee and handles all of those complicated systems inside your house, heating, air conditioning, electrical, and plumbing. And, you know, with good quality products, good quality installers, 100% satisfaction guarantee, and that's, you know, why they have been so successful all these years. At Peden now, when you choose the repair that their professionals recommend, you know, because they come out, they look at the problem, and then they recommend something. And if you choose what they recommend, they'll waive the dispatch fee, which, you know, that's how it works these days. You know, you pay for them to come out and look at it. Well, that gets rolled into the cost or taken off the cost, however you like to look at it. Plus, you'll get a full year of SmartCare membership free when you take the service that they recommend. You can call, book online, ask questions, find out more at Peden, PEADEN.com.
Fall into kindness. Waterfront Thrift is calling on you to donate your gently loved clothes, furniture, home decor, and household items. When you give, you're not just decluttering. Your donations help provide hope and critical support for homeless men and women at Waterfront Mission. Drop off your items at any Waterfront Thrift store Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. or schedule a free donation pickup online. Learn more at waterfrontthrift.org. Together, we can make this season a little brighter for those in need.
Looking for the best in flooring? At Jonathan's Flooring, you can select beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation, with a large selection of tile, carpet, or the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Landrum Annual 5K Run Walk is Saturday morning, starting at the downtown Landrum offices. Everyone is encouraged to get out and get moving. Proceeds benefit Lakeview Center. The Taste of the Beach Food Festival is Saturday from 10 till 4. Come out for the flavors, the fun, and new features showcasing the best chefs and restaurants on the beach. Find out more at PensacolaBeachChamber.com. Find more events and submit yours at NewsRadio923.com.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other show. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Call Jeff Wayne to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What does he want?
What do all men with power want? More power.
Good morning, 5:51 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Digging in the archives, a little Robert Plant for you, solo work there. You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's good stuff, right?
Hadn't heard that in forever.
Come on now. Here we go. Oh, man. 5:51. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Good morning. The FAA says the control tower at the Hollywood Burbank Airport went unmanned on Monday due to staffing shortages related to the government shutdown. Flights did continue using small airport procedures, and similar staffing apparently affected FAA facilities in Phoenix, Denver, and elsewhere as well.
How important is air traffic control, really?
Yeah.
I mean, just... You can see them. Like, look out the window. You see what's coming, right? Just use some hand signals. They got a radio. How hard can it be?
Oh, yeah. So put, like, right turn, left turn. Yeah, okay. Let's put our hand out the window.
Why? You think air traffic control is stressful, difficult, complicated?
No, not at all.
All right. Yeah, all right. Go on, David. You make it sound like it's a big deal that, you know, we got a government shutdown interfering with air travel. But, I mean, did anybody actually crash?
Did anybody...
Go on, David. Go on.
The Supreme Court hearing arguments over conversion therapy today. It's a challenge to a Colorado law that bans therapy aimed at changing a minor's sexual orientation.
Go ahead. Was it more on that one, or were you?
Well, there's just another line. It says backers say it's harmful. A Christian therapist says the law is an infringement on free speech.
It's particularly an interesting case. This is going to be a very interesting oral argument. This is one of those, like, I'm definitely listening to this one if I don't get to it today, tomorrow. But, you know, the idea that you would have a therapist who would counsel people that their sexual orientation or their gender identity is a mistake or should be changed, or even to open that question. Is, you know, discouraged practice among, you know, most certifying agencies for psychology and counseling. But, of course, as a Christian, you know, a lot of people believe that this is a moral question. Anytime there's a moral question, of course you can talk to people about, look, you've got an impulse to steal, we should talk you out of that. You've got an impulse to be violent, we should talk you out of that. You've got an impulse to, you know, be attracted to people of the same sex, we should talk you out of that. And so the Christians in this case are using only talk, and they say, look, we're only using talk. Why can't we do that? That's a violation of free speech. I suspect, I haven't read any of the briefs on this case, but I suspect the issue is going to turn on whether the state has the authority to restrict speech when money is involved, if you're charging money. You know, if a pastor just does counseling with somebody, it's, I would think, allowed. But if somebody's charging a fee for counseling services, that's where the issue of licensing, certification, entering the marketplace, all that. So it's a very interesting case, by the way. Sorry, that was, I just wanted to talk about that a little bit. Go ahead, David.
Sure. Last story I got for you. Amazon Prime Day returns for a two-day event beginning today. July's Prime Day is the biggest sale of the year, but their October Prime Day was started in 2022. So
all right, very
that
good.
Is ongoing now.
David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, somebody texted me and says that the Pensacola Tower shuts down every night, stays closed overnight, even though there are landings. It's not a problem. They've been doing it for years. Right, there's small airport rules, right?
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, you can't run, like, you know, JFK and this way, probably. But, I mean, if there's only a couple of landings.
Yeah.
You know. Not to really pursue the absurdity of this thing, because obviously you need air traffic controllers when you need air traffic controllers. And the question is the busyness of the intersection. Right? Think of an airport like an intersection. You have some intersections where there's no controls whatsoever in your neighborhood. There might be completely uncontrolled intersections. Some intersections have a yield. Some intersections have a stop. Some intersections have two stops, four stops. Some intersections have a flashing light one way, right? I mean, and some are, you know, full light. Some are multiple lights. Some are multiple turn lanes. I mean, it's just a question of complexity. And so, obviously, some places need a lot of air traffic control, and some places don't. And then some places need it during the day and not during the night. I mean, you know, so the problem right now is that, you know, if you're having to shut down or having people are unavailable because it's not the ideal for safety, well, we're playing at the margins of what's a good idea. 555, I can't believe it just mansplained air traffic control. 555 on News Radio 92.3.
Could you just mansplain?
I did. I really did. Did you see that Arby's is coming out with a new product? I know,
no.
John, you're very interested, right? Where's the meats?
You're not going to bring me the food, so.
No? Well, why don't you bring it? You always say it's up to me. Why don't you bring some
in? Yeah, it is you, because you're the chef.
Arby's is releasing, are you ready for this? Steak nuggets. What? So think of a chicken nugget made with steak. So steaky nugs.
Steak turned into the goo stuff?
I guess. I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's strips, like, you know, they could grill it, but instead they dip it in batter and fry it. Or
when is this coming out?
I don't know. Sometime soon.
On.
They've been trying it already on a limited basis, and it's supposed to be coming out sometime soon. Chicken fried steak nuggets, I guess, is what you might think of it as. Right?
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway, the reviews are mixed. I don't know. Moose knuckles, some people are calling it. Squirrel elbows. I'm not sure where we come with all these terms.
What?
I'm not sure that moose knuckle gets me to buy a product that I wouldn't otherwise buy a steak nugget, but okay, fine. since we're in the, like, food vicinity, are you a Chili's guy? You like to go to Chili's?
Yeah, I do.
Tell me what you order at Chili's.
I get the probably the quesadillas most of the time.
Oh, okay. All right. Do you ever order the skillet queso?
Yes.
You know what you can't order anymore?
No, don't tell me that.
It's gone. Last night was the last chance to get skillet queso. It's off their menu. I'm dead serious. And I know because my wife's, like, her favorite thing to get it. The reason we go is to get skillet queso. She likes to do the triple play thing.
Yeah, where you get appetizer.
Yeah, meal. And then for your appetizer, you can substitute skillet queso, and you can get all skillet queso. And she's like, it just loads up on it. She loves the skillet queso. It's gone today. It's over. It's out. You can't get it anymore. They have replaced it with a vegetarian option.
No.
I kid you not. Lighter, made with a blend of cheeses, fire-roasted green chilies, and a squeeze of lime. And so it's all gone. Also, they're getting rid of the thin chips. They went to the regular old thick, like you buy in a bag at the grocery store kind of chips.
Don't they make their own chips?
Not made in-house. They're warmed in-house.
Oh, okay.
I used to work at Chili's a long time ago.
Yeah, that's what I was asking.
Yeah, I mean, skillet queso has been on the menu for like 30 years. Or long, as long as there's been a Chili's, there's been skillet queso. Cool. This is, somebody's posted an announcement for this on Facebook, and somebody's like, this is the Cracker Barrel for my generation. They claim that only 1% of people order these.
What?
It cannot be true that only 1%.
I highly doubt that.
Maybe 1% of their sales or something, but in any case, the problem is, you know, you get rid of enough things that people really love, like when they changed their chicken crispers, destroyed their chicken crispers and ruined them and made them horrible. Then, you know, eventually you get rid of enough things and people don't want to come anymore because they come to get the thing that they remember coming all the years to get. You know, and so they get rid of enough things. I will tell you, though, the line for me is if they get rid of the chicken enchilada soup.
Oh, that's good.
It's the best thing on their menu. And so my wife orders the queso, and I get the chicken enchilada soup and with a burger or something, you know. And but, yeah, I don't see us going back anymore because that's, like, the whole reason she went. So there is a question, though, about how much people complain about an item going away versus because they want it to be there in case they want to go, but they don't really go anyway very often, so are they making up enough of the sales? But, man, you tinker with your menu at your own peril. Ask your people. There was a whole thread on Facebook about, you know, the chips! And people are like, but what about the queso, bro? That's the real story.